Yeah, you know what you can get me, Pee-wee?
What?
El Hombre.
First of all, as a service to the listeners, this is an absolute forget about it.
El Hombre.
He's a pariah. I mean, it's like going after raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens.
El Hombre.
He's here, everybody, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. You look forward to it. And now it's happening. El Hombre, Michael Bradley joins us. Hello, Michael.
What's happening?
How are you?
I'm great.
How are you feeling about Mike Trout's deal and, more importantly, the idea that Bryce Harper, unable to lure him to Philadelphia the way he had talked about, he signs a 12-year, $430 million deal with the Angels?
Yeah, I didn't expect him to not – I didn't expect the Angels to let him loose. So, I mean, it wasn't – you know, it was a long way off. Everybody always gets excited about this kind of stuff ahead of time. It's not you know – I wasn't getting too excited and too hopeful. We get Rhys Hoskins, who's a very good player, got Harper. This is a great move by the Angels. Very, 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 very smart move. So, I think it's a good deal for the Angels. It's a good deal for baseball because the Angels have nothing without him.
And they're in the major market, and I agree with you. It's a good deal that you don't want anyone else taking a shot at this guy. You're the Angels.
No, you don't. And you know, this ties them up. I don't know. You know, we don't know all the details yet. What's the deal with no trade? What's the deal with opt outs, etc. But you know, the Harper deal has now sort of set the new standard for superstars. There's going to be money at the very top. There's going to be money for those guys. There's going to be money for younger players who want to give up, you know, sign for 4 or 5 years at a good rate, but not the top rate. It's just the middle class that's getting squeezed.
How many more superstars at that age, though, are going to get this kind of long-term deal? Because Harper comes with the hype and the potential. Trout's already done a whole bunch. How many more players are there that are going to come along that can command this kind of money in this amount of years?
I don't know. I mean, what's Mookie Betts signed to? I mean, he's like the only other one that you could look at and say, where are you? Who can command this? Baseball doesn't have these kinds of stars, and people are not going to, they're not going to give contracts like this to pitchers.
No.
I think it comes down to Betts, and I'm looking it up now, what his contract is. He's got a $20 million deal this year, and then he's a free agent. He's probably the next one, but I can't think of many others beside him.
Yeah, we were just off the top of your head, there aren't many that are obvious because the ones that you thought would be in that category have signed, whether you're talking about Nolan Arenado, who was under 10 years, but a 7-year deal, as we just talked about this morning, along with, Machado, Harper,
well,
Trout.
Yeah, the thing is, usually one player sets the trend for the rest of the league, but in the case of Trout, he's so far and away better than everybody else. I wonder if the next generation of guys who are going to get a contract deserve to even be in that conversation.
Nobody deserves to be in the Trout conversation, and by the money that he's getting, and what's it, an average of $35.5 million per year, that is, it's the biggest contract ever. It's the highest per year, isn't it? Is it higher than Arenado's per year?
It's, just under 36, I think, if you're 12 into 430. You're a math.
35.9. Yeah,
I think it's the top one, everything, and there's nobody else. As Tom said, he's the best player in baseball. And it's not close. So, yeah, he deserves to get that, and nobody else is. You can say that maybe in 5-7 years somebody emerges who has that level, but right
Ohtani
now,
could potentially be that guy if he can pitch and hit at a high level.
If he can, but he's already going to have Tommy John.
Right.
So, here's the thing. Trout is a I hate to use this term, but he's a generational player. He's somebody that is so good, so much better than everybody else. And it seems like it's not, he's not going to fade because he's done it so much, and it's everything too. He has the traditional metrics. He's got the advanced metrics. His WAR is off the chart. So he's the unicorn in all of this. You're going to see some big contracts, but I don't think anybody does 12 years, $35 million a year.
Michael, what's your reaction to the story that came out from Jeff Passan talking about Carlos Santana being annoyed by some players in the clubhouse during a game? They're in the middle of a 9-game skid, and during a game in September, you've got members of the Phillies in the clubhouse playing Fortnite. So he goes in there and smashes the TV.
Good. Good. Hit them. Forget the TV. Hit the players, a knucklehead. Break the TV, break the controllers, throw Fortnite. You know, this is, if this is true and it was happening during the games and now everybody's doing the spin control, never happened during the games. You know, if you go back to Moneyball, right, Brad Pitt walks in as Billy Bean into the locker room and you got Giambi standing there dancing to all sorts of crazy tunes when they're losing, and he beats the crap out of the
boombox,
and he says, that's what losing sounds like, okay? You know, it was smart. Is it a veteran player saying, you don't do this, especially when you're losing? And if that's the clubhouse atmosphere that Gabe Kapler was okay with, whether you're playing, whether you're not, whether you're in, whether you're out, there's a game on. If that's what you want, if I'm the general manager and I find out about this, it's not a good thing. I am not a happy man.
Is part of that on Kapler? Because think about it. Today's manager is more of a caretaker. The Earl Weavers and Dick Williams and guys like that are gone. But in that situation, if you got guys playing video games back there, isn't it on Kapler to get angry?
Without a doubt. He should be furious. And here's the thing about Kapler. He's a maniac, okay? He's a fitness freak. He's the guy who, puts the ice cream in his mouth and then spits it out so that he doesn't get in any bad calories. He was not a great player. He worked hard. To have that happen during a game, I don't care how much of a quote-unquote player's manager or player's quote coach you are, you better have some standards and some lines that can't be crossed. Come on.
How did that story not get out during the season?
Well, who knows? That's a very good question. And it's also, it gives you a look at two things. One, teams don't want to air their laundry. And two, perhaps the writers are saying, well, we know writers aren't allowed in the clubhouse during games. And maybe, there wasn't anybody willing to step up and say it during the season, because who knows, maybe they were doing it. That's the other thing. I'm a player and I start narking on the other players. Oh, yeah? Well, here's what he did.
What a story, man. What a story.
Unbelievable.
Hey, how worried are people out there that Bryce Harper is looking for his first spring training hit, and the biggest hit was the one that took place on his ankle, 96-mile-an-hour fastball?
Hey, he got two hits in a minor against minor league players yesterday, so I have no problem.
Okay.
Look, he's behind everybody. The pitchers, they always say pitchers are ahead of the hitters. Well, they're really ahead of Bryce Harper now, because he's had, 12 at-bats or something? You now have starting pitchers throwing 5 and 6 innings in preseason and exhibition games. So they are very close to being ready for opening day. And meanwhile, here's Harper just trying to get some cuts in, and he's facing some people that are beginning to hone their repertoires advance of the season starting. So it's going to be a little bit behind. I would not be surprised if his April is not very good. And it'll be interesting to see if the Phillies fans are saying, okay, we're in this for a dozen years, not for a dozen games, then whether they boo him or not. I'll be down there opening day. I'm sure he'll get a great response from the sellout crowd when he's announced. If he comes up in the bottom of the first and strikes out, boo! There will be some booing.
So he's got one at bat is his slack.
In the first inning.
And by the way, I was listening. I was watching the game on Friday when he got hit, and it sounded like a gunshot.
It did.
That sucker hit hard and hit loud.
Let's go over the NFL here real quick. Tyreek Hill news last week. Legal procedure aside, what do you think should happen there with him?
Well, I mean, what did they just suspended Kareem Hunt for 8 games, right?
Yep. And the Chiefs, remember, the Chiefs let Hunt go first, and then they
suspended. Right, I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. You have to figure out first of all, did he do it? We always talk about that. Mm-hmm. Second of all, how severe was it? Get the information together. There's going to have to be some discipline from the team and from the league. And you decide, I mean, is it worth getting, what's going to happen with this guy? How are the fans going to respond? How bad is this? How's it going to look? Is he going to continue to do it? Is this a part of a pattern? The one thing we don't know is what stuff has been ignored or kept quiet to this point, right? So, is this stuff that's, okay, this is the fifth thing, right? We had 4 that we were able to keep quiet. This one we weren't allowed to. So, I don't know what he did. Still it's ambiguous to this point. We're not sure. But he has to be disciplined, and any kind of violence, just stop it, okay? And the players should be held accountable for this.
Well, and if he's, and you're right, you got to wait to see when the facts come out and is he truly
right.
guilty. But if the hype, the we'll throw that in there in capital letters, if he's guilty of breaking a 3-year-old's arm,
yeah.
he should never play another down in this league. I can't imagine a team signing him. Not only should he be cut, obviously, but another team picking him up should be an absolute daydream. And I don't even know what the legal ramifications will be. But, I mean, you're talking about a despicable human being who choked his pregnant.
Again, you don't know what he did.
Well, but we know what he's done in the past, Michael, and he choked his pregnant girlfriend, and that's not even up for debate.
And I agree with you, and you're right. I mean, I'm trying to be as careful as possible to say, let's get all the facts and find out.
Yeah, I threw out the big if, capital letters, capital I, capital F.
If you get all of the things that you're saying, you're right. I mean, how do you keep a guy on there? How do you say on your roster who's done that? And you're right. If he's choked the pregnant girlfriend, if he breaks the 3-year-old's arm, and he's done other stuff, you know, then you have to kind of say, look, dude, we can't keep you. We just can't do it. I don't care how good you are. We can't keep you around.
How do you think the NFL's doing with this stuff in general these days?
Getting better, but it's still not good. I mean, the fact that women watch the league still mystifies me, because the league still seems rather cavalier when it comes to violence against women. And it's almost like, okay, we have to do this. No one has ever come out. Roger Goodell, and again, who knows where he is, has never had the fortitude to come out and stand in front of a bank of microphones and say, from now on, we draw a line in the sand. And if you are a players union rep and you want to come to me and you want to complain that I'm being too stern and too strong against people who abuse women, then I'm going to let everybody know who you are, and I'm going to make sure that they know that you are protesting, that we're trying to come down hard on this stuff so that our league isn't known as a bunch of people who want to be violent against women.
You know what's interesting, though, is Kareem Hunt gets caught on videotape. The Chiefs cut him because the public demands that they do it, and they did the right,
right
thing. But then time passes, the Browns pick him up, and nobody says boo.
That's not true.
Really?
Yeah, there's been blowback for the Browns.
They had to answer that, and there's still going to be blowback. I'm sure there will be some protests. I'm sure there will be some pickets. And here's the thing. You know, we go back to Top Gun. You know, your family name ain't the best. You got to be doing it better and cleaner than the next guy. This guy gets a jaywalking ticket. He should be released at this point. Then John Dorsey, who's the general manager of the Browns, who drafted him while he was with the Chiefs, is saying, you know what? I know the guy. I know that this is an isolated incident, and we're going to treat it as such. But if there's anything else, he's going to be gone. But you know, there have to be stiff penalties for anybody who does this. And again, you know, we can't say one time and you never get to play again, you know, depending on what it is. But a pattern emerges, and you start to say, as a league and as teams, who do we want to be? And again, if I'm a female fan, do I really want to watch this league that says it's okay for this to happen?
I'd be surprised if, after everything the Browns have done this offseason, getting Beckham and loading this team up, if people are picketing them and they're winning in Cleveland.
I'd be kind of surprised. Dog pound? No. Dog pound? No. The guys in the masks? No. But, you know, if I'm the leader of a women's group or a group that is trying to protect women who have been abused, I might be a little angry about this. And I'm going to certainly make sure the cameras know that I and other people are going to be out in front of the stadium with some signs and some slogans.
He is El Hombre, Michael Bradley, with us every Tuesday. You can follow him on Twitter at Daily Hombre. At Daily Hombre is where you'll find him on Twitter. Hey, would you be if you were a GM, would you take a chance on a guy like Vontaze Burfict? Would you bring him in for a conversation?
No, I don't want him. He's somebody, you know, late hits and effort, and he just strikes me as a bad guy. And again, you got to worry about what's this going to mean in the locker room. I don't want him. He is somebody who, to me, is too volatile and too unreliable, and it really doesn't seem like he has wanted to play. I mean, Cincinnati gave him a lot of chances. It seems like he doesn't want to play by the rules and really play football that will win games and help a team prosper.
Are the Temple Owls excited to be going to Dayton?
Well, first of all, I can tell that this is an ESPN program because we've gone 15 minutes without mentioning the NCAA tournament. I watched Scott Van Pelt last night on the Overnight Sports Center, and he didn't mention the tournament except in terms of how it might affect the NBA draft. So, I mean, it's astounding to me. When they're not broadcasting something, they don't care. Temple is happy to be in the tournament, given that face plant that it had against Wichita State Friday night in the AAC quarters. Had the Owls beaten Wichita State, they would have been not playing tonight and drawing a Belmont team that averages 87 points a game and scores and passes the ball at a great rate, is extremely efficient offensively, is not the best thing for Temple, which doesn't score a whole lot of points and can have some stretches in the game where it just looks downright inept.
If I told you that a team who hadn't made the tournament in 8 years just won their conference, not their conference tournament, but their conference, and they were in the tournament and their fans really didn't seem to care a whole lot about it, would you be surprised by that?
Were we talking about Oregon?
We're talking about Washington.
Talking about Washington?
There's very little buzz about that out here because of the way they finished the season.
But well, that's the thing. You know, this is a team that is going into the tournament, and people aren't saying, oh, let's go make a run. For some programs, just making the tournament is not enough. You know, if you're just gonna sneak, you know, skulk in and win a bad conference, and there's no other way to put it, the Pac-12 was bad, and then you're gonna expect the fans to get all that excited, and you've slid in down the stretch. Yeah, I mean, I can see that it's not. I mean, like, if, this isn't Liberty or Belmont or Bradley or some of these other schools that, for you know, going to the tournament and just being there is a great thing. The expectations are higher at the Power Five schools, and they're definitely higher at Washington.
Even though they haven't made the tournament in 8 years.
Well, I mean, and here's what I would say. Again, you're not saying that Washington is like these other schools. Washington, if you haven't made it in 8 years, so it's like, yahoo, we made it. Well, is this an exciting team? Is this a team that has been playing really well of late? No. You know, they lost four of their last, what, 10, 12? And then they lost to an Oregon team they should have beaten. So not in good form.
I applaud you for knowing all that, by the way.
Well, you know, that's my job.
If I
was going on in Cincinnati, I'd know all about the Bearcats.
Did you hear the story about the Bradley team and the reporter?
Yes. I mean, unbelievable. This just shows you where we're headed. Okay, Bradley got caught saying that this guy didn't promote their brand enough. All right. But this is where we're going. It's threatening people who don't comply with the way that the schools and teams and leagues want themselves to be promoted and presented. But it's nationwide, and it's worldwide. I'm reading an article in the New York Times Magazine about how journalists in India being killed for printing the truth or being critical of the government. So, I mean, this is a business now. Nobody at Walmart is going to let a reporter into the boardroom. Basketball teams and football teams and athletic departments have to let the media into their world to watch them, how they do things, to talk to them, to interview them. And it really hurts their brand if the people come out of it and saying, I don't really buy it.
Michael, what do you think of this? I'm reading this plea deal offer to Robert Kraft. Have you seen this? For those that don't know, prosecutors have offered a plea deal to Patriots owner Robert Kraft and 24 other men in which charges would be dropped for soliciting prostitution. But there's a catch. Kraft and the other men would have to review the evidence and admit they would have been proven guilty at trial. And then they'll drop it.
Yeah, so it's like, first of all, the sentence for getting convicted is like, you know, what's in the couch at the Kraft estate in terms of loose change rolling around, and then, you know, a slap on the wrist and maybe a little bit of probation. This, you don't have to pay the fine or get the probation, but you can still say, yeah, I did it. Now, we have video evidence of it being done, and he can come out and say all he wants, I'm going to fight this. But if you fight it, if I'm a judge and you fight this and you lose, then I may just put your backside in jail for 12 hours. Here you go, Bobby. Do the perp walk. Put on the orange jumpsuit. Sit in there and sing Nobody Knows the Troubles I've Seen for 12 hours.
Yeah, there's no reason to risk anything like that if you're Kraft.
Yeah, exactly. It'll go away. And then you should go away. That's the other thing. Then it's time for you, Robert, to go away.
You know
this
what,
is
though?
An embarrassment.
This could mean that we're not going to get any more gratuitous shots of Bob Kraft celebrating up in his box ever again, right? I mean, that could be one outcome here.
It's really amazing. We don't see the Tennessee Titans owner on the air, right?
Yep, nope.
We see False Face. We see Kraft. Arthur Blank we see because he walks down there to say, you know, on the field in the end of the game, either to give the coach the stink eye or to, you know, get Gatorade dumped on him. But there aren't a whole lot of owners that we're, you know, that we see. The Maras never kind of courted that kind of attention. But yeah, I'm sick and tired of seeing Bob Kraft sitting up there with, you know, who does he have? What menagerie of people? Mark Wahlberg, Charlie Sheen, right?
Yeah.
It's a real, real, real high level group.
Hey, by the way, who do you like in the tournament? Is Duke the best team in your mind? Is there a big gap between them and Virginia, North Carolina, the other teams? What do you like?
Well, first of all, when it comes to the tournament, it's always ABD, right? Anybody but Duke. All right. If Taliban State is in there or Al Qaeda Tech, I'm rooting for them over.
But do you think they're the best team though? Not who you're rooting for.
I don't know. I think North Carolina is the best team. If you go 1 through 9, the most talent on the, you know, Zion Williamson's the best player. Cam Reddish has not played that well of late. I love watching North Carolina play. They're a lot of fun. They really get up and down the court. And so we'll see. They almost, you know, they beat them twice. They almost beat them in a really good game on Friday night. I have UNC winning the tournament. I still don't buy this. You know, Kentucky won one with the young kids. Duke won one with the young kids, and no one's won it with a group of freshmen since. And there's going to come a time where there's going to be a real tough situation, and you wonder, are they going to be able to handle it?
That's why I kind of like Tennessee a little bit in this one.
My problem with Tennessee is they're so erratic. And they don't play really good defense. Now, North Carolina didn't play really good defense either, but they can score. Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield are outstanding offensive players. And it's funny because when Rick Barnes was at Clemson in Texas, his teams were boring as heck because all they did was play defense. Now it's like, giddy up.
He is El Hombre, Michael Bradley. Again, follow him on Twitter at Daily Hombre and interact at your own risk. Michael, great
still
stuff.
I haven't gotten any calls about sponsorships.
They were talking to somebody upstairs. I'll have to get an update. Last I heard, there was going to be a meeting with somebody, but I'm not sure where that went.
A meeting with somebody, some talk.
A meeting with somebody who was interested in sponsoring El Hombre, and
talked to a guy who talked to the guy to the guy.
That's it.
Something along those lines. So I'll get an update.
This at my neighbor's house.
I'll get an update for you.
All right, I like that.
We'll talk to you next week, man.
So long, suckers.
There he is in all of his glory, Michael Bradley. Again, follow him on Twitter at Daily Hombre is where you're going to find him on Twitter with us every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. Meanwhile, how would you feel as a Seahawks fan if Malik McDowell becomes a great player somewhere else? We've got the halftime show coming your way next with Bob Gross and Tom on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob Gross and Tom.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
It's time for the halftime show.
The half is not over.
Presented by VenueKings.com.
The half is not over. There's 3 seconds on the clock.
Revisiting the biggest stories of today at the midpoint of the show.
The halftime show. It's not easy.
Now, here's Bob Gross and Tom.
It's the Halftime Show with Bob Gross and Tom. It's here for you guys. Those of you unable to join us right at noon, you missed the big stories of the day that we open the show with. So we retrace our steps, bring you up to speed. Then we all move on together. And
Sometimes we even throw in something new.
That's often true. And we'll do that this time. Just a reminder that we're going to answer your questions coming up in the next segment. Any topic, any subject is fine. Just text that question into 710-710, the Coors Light text line.
What's new?
Well, the new thing we didn't get to is former Seahawk, former Falcon, former Raider.
Bruce Irvin.
Is now a current Carolina Panther.
1 year deal?
Yep.
Forgot he was with the Falcons.
Yeah, last year.
Reunited with Dan Quinn. Yeah, okay, now it's ringing a bell.
you were looking all perplexed as I was reading that.
Former Falcon, what?
Wait, who's he talking about? I thought it was Bruce Irvin. It is Bruce Irvin. So anybody that was holding out hope that there was going to be a reunion here in Seattle, not this year.
Probably were we not really anywhere. Hoping for that?
I don't think so.
I wasn't really.
I mean, it wouldn't have been the worst news ever.
If they got him at the right price, I'd be like, okay.
Fine. Yeah, it was just not, it wasn't a passion play.
I don't know that there's a great track record in the NFL of players going away from a team for a while and coming back later in their career and being great. This team just overhauled its culture. It got younger. I don't think you're going to get better by bringing in Bruce Irvin.
Well, we had that talk about Irvin and Jermaine Kearse.
Yeah,
right?
I say the same thing about Kearse. I just don't think he's the right fit here.
Yeah, I think either at the right price, because you're not building around them. They're not part of your long-term plan. It would be a for-now thing. So I'd be, all right, listen, if you're getting them close to league minimum or in football dollars, it's not doing anything to your cap and the ability to go out and get the pieces you truly need, then, yeah, go nuts. I don't care.
Go nuts?
Yeah.
Like Dave Gettleman?
That's right. That's right.
It depends on who the guy is, I suppose. But in this case, Bruce Irvin had just a couple of moments here. He wasn't eating McDonald's from Danny.
I mean, he was a good player.
He had some moments.
He's never been elite, but he was a good player, and he's older now. It's hard to believe. Was he 32, I think?
I think you're right.
Yeah. It's crazy to me.
Is he that old? He was drafted in 2012, wasn't he?
I think he's 32. I'll look it up. But, he signs. Is he 32?
Well, he's 31. He'll be 32 in November.
Okay. I was way off.
You had no clue what you're talking about.
Do you even know who the guy is?
He was an older guy coming out of college.
Yeah, so he's past his football prime. Not that he won't be productive, but, I mean, obviously, he signed him one-year deals. Nobody's locking him up.
Right.
So, Bruce Irvin, that dream is dead for some Seahawks fans out there. Story number two. Another former Seahawk, I guess, sort of, although it feels like he never was a Seahawk because we never saw him on the field. In fact, I never saw him in a uniform.
I don't think we can call him can we call him a former Seahawk?
Yeah, we can.
He was their player. I mean, he was under contract with him, so technically.
But he never played.
I never saw his jersey. Did he have a number assigned to him?
I think he was 64. When you Google him, the picture of him in a practice jersey does come up, and a helmet for that matter.
Where were we?
He was a Seahawk in the same sense that Carlos Quentin was a Mariner.
Okay.
They signed him. He was in the organization. Or what's that other guy? Jason Worth.
Right.
He's a former Mariner.
It's like Malik Smith the first time around.
The first time around.
Yeah.
Jason Worth is really a former Tacoma Rainier.
Former Tacoma Rainier. That's more accurate.
I mean, I guess you paid him. You drafted him. But, I mean, you never saw the field.
Well, he's
even in preseason.
Yeah. Again, he could be standing right in front of us. We'd all be going, I don't know who that is. But he'll be.
Once he started screaming about taxes.
Yeah. He said, taxes is taxes. And you go, oh, Malik, how are you? He's going to be speaking with the Dallas Cowboys and, as Michael Bradley likes to say, false face. So that's a team, as this article says, had interest in him in his original go round in the draft. And again, in case you missed it, we read some of the breakdown of who he was as a player coming into the draft. And some of the red flags, they said, McDowell is easily one of the top 10 players in the draft. He can play up and down the defensive line, has a wide array of pass rush moves that can get him into the backfield with little effort. Talks about all these things he does well and says that's when he's locked in. When McDowell's not locked in, which has been far too often for some people's tastes, it's a disaster of freelancing and lack of discipline that leave his teammates at severe disadvantages, and that freelancing might not be the most troubling part of the story on McDowell. According to the draft guide, McDowell has been seen as a cancer in the locker room, getting into fights with teammates, and generally not leaving a good impression on the coaching staff. So that was review coming out of college.
What does freelancing mean? Just doing his own thing
doing
on the field?
Doing his own. Yes. Ask Dave Wyman. Gap discipline. He's going to try to make the big play. He's going to leave his responsibility, and that in turn puts his teammates in a bad spot.
I don't know how important gap discipline is life.
That's a weird term for that, though. Freelancing? Yeah. Maybe freestyling. Freelancing means, hey, they hired me on a game-to-game basis.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Now you're being too literal.
I'm just using the English language the way it was intended to be used.
Anyway,
we'll
see what happens with McDowell. They're talking to him. Doesn't mean they're going to sign him or anything like that. And if they do, I think we're all okay with it because of the Seahawks' track record.
I'll be curious to see if the talks go anywhere at all, if we'll get any sort of picture as to what his actual injuries were. We know he was in an ATV accident. Outside of that, nothing is for sure. We've heard potential head injury.
If he becomes available for interviews, you can finally ask him.
Well, whether he answers or not. I'm just wondering if it'll leak its way out. Because everything leaks. Everything
if he became
does.
A player somewhere else.
How would it not come out?
Yeah. The media would hound him enough for
it. Does he have a big scar down the side of his head? Does he walk kind of funny now? I mean, you don't know. We don't know what was injured.
It'd be pretty intimidating if he did have a big scar around his face.
Right? I mean, it's again, one of the best kept secrets in the history of secrets.
People are getting me on the text here, by the way, saying, because I was saying that there's not a great track record of football players leaving a team and coming back.
There probably is, huh?
No, I don't think so. Somebody's just saying, well, that just happened with Sweezy. Okay, name me 10 guys that's happened with in the NFL.
No. DeSean Jackson went back to Philly. We'll see what he does.
He's washed up.
We'll see what he does.
Washed up.
I
hate that guy. He tortured the Giants the whole time he was in Philly and Washington, for that matter.
Yeah, I'm sure there are a few examples of guys. James Harrison played pretty well when he went back to the Steelers.
There are always examples of everything. I'm not saying it's never happened, but usually
I think that's exactly what you said.
It's when guys get older, okay, and there's a reason why they're available to their old teams. It's because they're not as good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Especially in the NFL.
Michael Bennett doesn't count. He's a journeyman at this point.
Wait a minute. Michael Bennett was here.
And then left.
Then came back and was great.
But he wasn't a player here.
The first time around? You're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, technically, he was a Seahawk. Left. He played for Tampa Bay. Came back. Was a star here. But
you know that that's not the point I'm making about guys like Michael Bennett who really never played.
It'd be like if Michael Bennett left after his time here in Seattle, went to Philadelphia, and came back this year, and he was great again.
Right. That would be unexpected.
Yeah. And then, final story. It's a big one. Mike Trout's, the word is, 12 years, $430 million.
And it still seems like a deal.
It seems like a deal for both. I mean, I don't blame him. Some people are criticizing him for not testing the market and seeing if he could get more.
Well, I mean, he's in L.A. We mentioned the Angels, big market.
I think they make their money back.
They've drawn over $3 million, 10 years running. Oh, I think they do, too. I don't think this is going to be a loss for them at all.
And all the marketing, I think as he approaches records, the attendance will grow. The merchandise will come into play even more so with whatever record he's going to break.
Well, and they're building their minor league system, so they're on the way to being good again.
Yeah, it's weird to look at a $430 million deal and say, yeah, I think they're going to get their money back. It's a good deal for them,
too. Right?
It's crazy.
It's too much money.
There you go. There's a bit of what we talked about to open the show. Let's do the pitching matchup here. It's brought to you by Heritage Distilling's BSB Brown Sugar Bourbon. Change it up with Heritage Distilling's BSB Brown Sugar Bourbon. Your matchup is
Marco Gonzalez against Mike Fiers, both of whom are 0-0 with a 0 ERA so far this year.
This is a real matchup.
Somebody's 0 has got to go.
Is that what they say?
Yeah, you've never heard that?
Never.
It's old boxing thing.
Oh, I like it.
You got two undefeated fighters facing each other. Somebody's 0 has got to go. So there you go. That's your pitching matchup. 2:30 a.m. there, Tom. 2:30 a.m.
I'll be up, kind of.
I love that. Wait, they're playing at 2:30 in the morning?
Still seems weird.
Seconds before we take to the air. All right, your questions are we're waiting for your questions, I should say. We've got answers for you. All we need are those questions on any topic, any subject. It's fine. Just text it in to 710-710, the Coors Light text line. Have an opinion already. Coming up with Bob Gross and Tom on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Is Have an Opinion Already on the Bob Gross and Tom Show. Three loudmouths, three questions, and one giant tub of hand sanitizer. Right, Bob? Let's get it on.
Let's get it on, baby. This means...
Nope. Try again.
Let's get it on.
Question one.
Texters are lively today, Bob. You're missing out.
I've been missing out for a week.
Yeah.
Got to be the weather, man. It's 77 degrees outside.
I was thinking that, Gross. People are just feeling better. I know I am.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
So they're more positive, you're saying?
Well, they're just ready to talk. They're vibrant.
Okay.
Vibrant or vibrating?
Yes.
I said vibrant.
Okay.
Are you guys going to be on Twitter during the game early tomorrow morning so we can laugh and cry about opening day sleepily together?
If I'm
up watching it, I'll be on Twitter. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I will not be up watching it. I will not be on Twitter.
Bob, you got to get
unless
in the spirit,
things have
man,
gone wrong.
On.
Unless my, you know, apnea kicks in and I'm awake.
Because sleep is a different issue for you altogether.
So if you're
lucky enough to get sleep, you're
I'm
taking
staying
it.
Asleep as long as I possibly can.
Yeah, same with you.
I'm in the same boat. Yeah.
All right.
I've not slept 8 consecutive hours since I was a little kid.
Really?
Yep. I've been in bed for 10 hours and wake up, go back to sleep, wake up, go back to sleep. But 8 consecutive hours, nope.
I'm finally sleeping better, but it's taken a lot of work.
That's actually another question that just came in. What's the longest you've ever gone without sleep?
Jeez, I just went through a really bad stretch.
Where you had none at all?
I had a couple days.
Yeah. That's scary.
It was really scary.
Yeah, your mind starts getting really weird.
Yeah, once you start, that's actually one of my big fears, is losing my mental faculties.
It feels very easy when you've got sleep deprivation. You don't think clearly.
Well, I mean, I can just vouch for that. Having gone through it just a few months ago for a couple of months, there's nothing worse.
Ugly. Next.
Question two.
Well, now I really don't want you guys to wake up tonight to watch the game. I want to make sure you guys get good sleep so you can come in and do a good show. Do you guys have the patience for fondue?
I'm not that. I've done
patience
it at
for
the
fondue.
I've been to the melting pot, which was, yeah, it's novel, but
I don't understand the question. What do you mean the patience?
Well,
to make it?
To prepare it, I think.
Is it time consuming to prepare it?
Isn't it a process? Well, isn't the process part of the fun?
I don't know.
I don't know what it takes to get it prepared versus having
like
it brought
this melted
over.
Cheese.
All I know is it's not enough food, that's for sure.
Yeah, what do you mean? It's not very substantial.
Oh, it's not?
It's like small cuts
little
of
tiny
meat.
Tiny pieces of bread or meat.
You're dunking in there. And
I thought it was bread you had with fondue.
No, you'd have meat.
Okay.
You can have whatever you want. You just cut up in small pieces and stab it with a
yeah, put it on the little,
or whatever,
the
and
little
yeah.
shish kebab type thing and dip it
yep,
in there.
That thing.
Isn't it something that couples would do in the 70s? Like we're having the Joneses over for fondue, that sort of thing.
I think
sounds
so.
Like it.
Next.
Question three.
What's worse, working inside all day when the weather's like this or working outside all day for 8 hours, moderate labor?
I don't think it's too oppressive today, so I would say being inside would be worse.
Yeah, in the 70s, you're probably okay.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right. Going to moderate labor. You're probably just fine. Now,
if you're
a roofer and you're on top of a roof and you're packing shingles and
92 degrees.
It's going to feel pretty hot.
I bet it's worse when it's cold and raining.
I would
personally, I do agree with that.
Yeah.
I could take 90 degree weather in jeans.
Well, we don't get that here.
Oh, once in a while.
Last summer was a little warm.
We have at least one conversation a year off air about you guys and your air conditioning situations.
I got a good situation.
Do you have central air?
Yes.
Or maybe it's Bob.
Yeah, I didn't have it.
That's
and
what
I
it
had
is.
Huge windows and my place was an oven.
Yeah, because you ask me every year what do I do and I tell you about my little unit that I have.
Yeah. Yeah. I told you my thermostat would be close to 90.
God.
In my house.
Well, then you're really not gonna sleep.
No, you're just laying there existing. In front of a fan, trying not to move.
Which retire... next.
We are out of next.
We're out of next. Which retired football player would you like to time warp into the Seahawks team as a rookie?
Lawrence Taylor.
Well, yeah, that would solve your pass rush problem.
That's a good call.
That's their biggest need right now.
That's a really good call.
Give me him. Give me Reggie White.
Reggie White would be another really good call.
Would you, if you got Lawrence Taylor, if you had that player and you knew what he was going to be, would you switch to a 3-4 so you could just have him roam all over the place?
I would.
I would do whatever Pete wanted to do with him. I would trust his baseball or his football knowledge.
I think Pete would look at Lawrence Taylor and say, we're switching to a 3-4.
Right, because if you're a nickel in a 4-3, KJ Wright and Michael Kendricks are never going to see the field. They're going to rotate in and out with Bobby Wagner.
You want him on the edge, always.
Right.
Reggie White would be good, too, though.
Yes, he would.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have to switch.
I could live with either of those guys.
You guys think the legend of Joe Montana has, I would say, dissipated, but faded a little because of two things, time and just the proliferation of great quarterbacks in the last 20 years or so.
Maybe a little, and seeing what Tom Brady's doing in front of your eyes.
Yeah, maybe just him alone.
He's sort of rewriting history. The Patriots are rewriting it. He's rewriting it as the quarterback, so it's sort of eclipsing that.
But it's only him.
Only him?
In my opinion.
If you could have Joe Montana here right now, would you replace Russell Wilson?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I would.
Would he fit what they do? If he were the only switch out, you had the same O-line, same running game, same everything.
System. I'm not sure I would.
You can't miss. You'd be good with either one of them, obviously. But Joe Montana was pretty awesome.
I'm not even sure I'd take Tom Brady at this point. in this system.
If we're he'd have been finished business years ago.
Right, that would have his career would have been over. It would have choice would have been made for him.
He would have sustained career-ending injuries.
Yeah, I'm not so sure I would want that. But is Russell the only guy who can run this offense? No, I think I'd rather have Mahomes than anybody else we've mentioned here.
Yeah. He's tough to turn away from. I mean, now whether
let's see if he can keep it up.
Come close to this. I don't expect him to throw 50 touchdown passes a year. But
the thing about guys like Brady and like Peyton Manning or even Dan Marino behind a bad offensive line is they have quick release.
True.
So it's a bad offensive line is not that big a deterrent necessarily.
Can Baldwin and Lockett get open that quickly? Are we throwing to Carson?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to, obviously, if you've got a very porous offensive line and a quarterback who can't move, your play calling changes, right? You're running little slants, you're not waiting for a place to develop downfield, right? So they're quick hitters. A lot of what the Patriots do.
Somebody's saying geniuses in history have not required much sleep. Da Vinci, Einstein, and Bob.
Nice.
Very nice. All right, coming up, one mock draft out there has the Seahawks making a bit of a crazy trade. How should they handle their first-round pick? We'll talk about that next with Bob Gross and Tom on 710 ESPN Seattle.